Hey there, friends. This is Vlad Mazik. Thank you so much for downloading Vladcast number 12. I appreciate your time and your attention. And I think it will be really well used today because I have somebody to talk to you about some of the things that I really believe in. Now, last week I published Vladcast number 11, which has by far been the most popular podcast in the Vladcast series that I've ever published. And really, I got a ton of feedback, a ton of emails and questions and things. And I hate to disappoint you, but I'm not a motivational speaker. While I appreciate that some of you got motivated by that, it's really one of the tips that, work for me. And I try to motivate myself. I try to learn from others. I try to see how others motivate themselves. And, you know, I just shared with you something that works for me. So I'm very happy that it works for some of you. I'm really happy that you managed to get something done. But I hope you're not looking forward to me to inspire you, because that's not what I do. Write software, you know? Can't break that. But I got somebody that I really believe vocalizes a lot of the things that I believe in. Somebody that couldn't be more different from my lifestyle and really, you know, who I am. This dude is a Princeton professor. He's a black activist. He's a devout Christian. And he teaches kids about black history, about American history, about the sense of entitlement that a lot of people have, about defining success, about defining how they go through their daily lives. And if you've kind of picked up on a little nuance in all of the Vladfire video blog episodes that I put out, you've seen that I've asked a lot of people, a lot of really successful people, how they define success. And really, it's a curveball question. It's a trick question to get them to reveal why they do what they do, how they got to that point, how they got from where they were to where they are, and what they're actually going to. And I think that's a really good learning experience to find out from others that may be doing similar things that you're doing and really grow your business, yourself, because everything in the end is connected. You know, what you choose to do with your life, what you choose to do with your business, and how you go about it. And, you know, I've asked people that are both successful and still on that journey, because they spent their money to go to a professional networking conference. They spent their money to go and learn instead of spending out to go somewhere and party. So without further ado, Mr. Cornell West.
Incredible courage to think for himself. Mm-hmm. Free. To be able to think for yourself. You right. have to be able to cut against the grain, get the distance from your peer group. And not only that, but Tavis, you have to have an habitual vision of greatness. You see, you have to believe in fact that you will refuse to settle for mediocrity. You won't confuse financial security with your personal integrity. You won't confuse your success with your greatness or your prosperity with your magnanimity. If you have a vision of greatness, there's something that's luring you all the time for something grander than you and of your service to others. Do you find joy in your service to others? Do you actually believe, in fact, that living is connected to giving? Now, maybe some people may not opt for that. Say, no, I'm the hedonistic, narcissistic, individualistic type, and that's just a lot of abstract rhetoric. That's right. I'm not into that kind of stuff. I say, that's fine. That's fine. I choose to attempt to pursue this road. I'll fall on my face. We all do, Craig. Part of the challenge for those of us locked into a certain Christian tradition. But we Christians have no monopoly on truth, no monopoly on goodness, and so forth and so on. We believe Jesus Christ is the truth, but we also know, in fact, that a variety of religious traditions have some things to say that we can learn. Mm-hmm. And therefore, especially as citizens in a democratic society, we're going to have equality of person before the law, no matter what religious or non-religious views they have.
Let me go back, though. You make this distinction. I want to give you or give myself a chance to catch up with this distinction between success and greatness. You went right past that. It's a profound distinction. Talk to me about the difference between success and greatness.
Now, I think success is worldly, and in terms of the American dream is often characterized as pecuniary gain and financial prosperity, economic status. You're living in the big crib, you know, in a vanilla suburb, living large, and the bling bling that goes along with it. Now, we all know we all need money, we all need financial resources and so forth, but we also know how that can easily become not just idolatrous, but it can become poisonous to one's soul. You know the wonderful essay written by the white literary blues man Tennessee Williams, after the Glass Menagerie in 1947, wrote a fascinating essay called The Catastrophe of Success, meaning what? That if, in fact, you're not spiritually, politically, morally prepared to deal with success, then a catastrophe can follow thereafter, and, in fact, it can blind you in your own quest for greatness. Because if, in fact, all you actually think life is about are these fleeting pleasures and these commodities, and you think you can possess your soul by means of possessing commodities, you've got some nihilism, some existential emptiness, and spiritual malnutrition waiting for you. I don't care where it is. I know we're here in Hollywood, so maybe I should shout that out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Hollywood doesn't suffer from it in any disproportionate way. It's also among the destitute, because the destitute have a fetishism of commodities, the fetishism of success. All I need is success, and then somehow I'm a better person. I'm more human. People will accept me, even though I don't have it. Well, that's just as bad as achieving the success and discovering you're living in the mansion all by yourself, alone, unable to make any kind of qualitative relation to anybody. Well, those things require what? People willing to pay a price, bear a burden. And if you think it's cost-free, if you think there's no price to be paid, then it's easy to slide back into conformity, complacency, and that goes hand-in-hand with our market-driven, narcissistic, hedonistic society, with more and more people concerned just about getting over as opposed to being a better, more decent, compassionate human being.
Are you hopeful that this generation can get it right? You teach these minds every day.
Well, brother, I tell you, I'm a legatee of not just Martin Luther King Jr., but also Cliff and Irene West, but also John Coltrane and Anton Chekhov, which means I'm never optimistic. The evidence always looks underdetermined. But I am full of hope. I never give up on any human being, no matter what color, so forth, because I believe that they have potential. And in that sense, it's a kind of, blues-inflicted hope, rather than a cheap American optimism that motivates me, my brother.